Welcome. Take a seat. Welcome to episode one, the introductory episode, where you guys get to know me, you get to understand what this podcast is going to be about, and all of the things. This episode is going to be about godly frustration, and I labeled it that way for a very specific reason. Throughout this journey, throughout this podcast, you will hear pieces of my testimony, and I pray that it will bring some edification to you, some exhortation. I pray that it will break you free from some mindsets. I pray that it will challenge your thinking. So before we go any further, I just want to say thank you to God, because without Him, none of this would be possible. And, you know, considering the topic of today's subject, it would be an injustice to Him to not give Him the glory that He deserves for this. So let's just dive straight in here. Many of us in the body of Christ, I do believe, we are in a period of transitions. Many of us have promises that God has given us. We have been doing all of the things. And you will hear me say this all the time. We have been doing all of the things. We have been praying. We have been fasting. We have been reading our Bibles like we are supposed to. We have been going to church. We have been doing the soul work, right? We've been doing the tearing down and the binding and the loosing. And for those of you who are new to the faith or are just unbelievers, you might not have any idea about the verbiage that I'm using right now, but just stick with me. Throughout this process, you will learn what all of these things are. I have a very, 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 very heavy teaching ability. So I will definitely break things down in a way that it is applicable to your life. So some of us in the body of Christ are in this, we are in this place of transition. We are in this place of stretching. I can say for me in my own experience, the Lord has been challenging me in ways that I did not even know were possible. I have been a believer since the age of 6. My father decided one day while we were going through the process of a divorce from my mother and my father, the decision had been made that I would go live with my mother, and my father understood that he would not be in my life in the capacity to which he had desired to be in. So he thought the best thing that he could do, his only service to his daughter, who would not be in his life for all accounts, he had no idea when the next time it would be that he would saw me, was to make sure that I said the prayer of faith. So while I was 6 years old, he had me say the prayer of faith, and I invited the Holy Spirit into my life. And I do remember that all throughout my life, I knew I was different. I knew I saw things that people didn't see. And listen, we're not going to go into the, oh, she's hallucinating. We're not going to do that here. Okay. I saw things that most people didn't see. I heard things most people didn't hear. I had a intuitive revelation knowledge about things that I should not know. I found myself speaking on topics that a normal 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 year old had no business knowing. I would say things to adults around me that was released in their secret place. Nobody knew this but them and God. So I've always knew that I was different. I always knew that I was set apart and called. And for those of you who don't know the term, I'll say it. I'm very prophetic. Now, that is not my only office. That is not my only gift set. But that is one of the places that I do operate in heavily. So since the day that my father had me say that prayer, my life changed and it shifted forever. And in this period that I am in right now, God has been calling me deeper than he has ever called me before. I do believe that I was chosen from the beginning, almost like a Nazarite, right? He gave the prerequisites of what my life was going to be like, what the do's and the don'ts were going to be before I even entered into the earth. So I knew very early on that I can't do what everybody else is doing. I can't say what everybody else is saying. And I know right now that there is this hyper grace theology that's being taught, and we will touch on that some other day. But I always had a reference for God that I could not do this because I knew that God was very real. I knew that he walked with me. I knew that he talked with me. I did not understand all of it into the depth of the relationship that he was cultivating with me, but I understood that something was different. And this God dude, he was real. I always, always, always sensed his presence. I always, 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 always knew that he was listening. He was seeing. So even when I wanted to do wrong, I knew that, oh, man, God is watching me. Like, I was always going to be the one that was going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. I'm a snitch. We did it. It was me. I did it. They said it. I went with them. I broke it. Like, that was always me. Which is interesting because in my early years, the enemy tried to suppress me with a spirit of lying. So even when I wanted to tell the truth, I could not. But I received deliverance when I was a young lady by this pastor. And he ended up casting this lying spirit out of me. And he told my parents, he said, from this day forth, she will always tell the truth. It will be little, it will be big, but she will be compelled to tell the truth. And it's true. It's always been that way. Even in my adult years, the conviction is so heavy, I dare not tell a lie. So in this podcast, in this realm, you will always get the authentic, 100% unadulterated truth, because the truth shall set you free, and in truth, the devil is shamed. We are in a period where the transitions are happening so rapidly, I believe, because God is just expediting processes for us. For those of us who have been in right standing with him, I do believe he is expediting processes. So with that, in my experience, has come extreme frustration. Now, I say that because I fasted before, okay? Once you get to a certain level in Christ and you get to a certain place in Christ, he starts you off easy, right? He asks you to get rid of the little things, and then he works his way up. So I've done 1-day fasts. I've done 3-day fasts. I've done 7-day fasts. I've done 21-day fasts. I'm on a 40-day fast right now. He just increases it ever the more. So I've done complete fasts, which a complete fast means no food and no water. I've done water fasts, which means you do have water. But this fast that he has me on is a whole new ball game. The restrictions that he has me on, it just makes me want to scream. So here we are with godly frustration. What do you do when you find yourself in a place of frustration? But your frustration is not necessarily with the environment around you. It's not necessarily with the people that are in your life. It's not with the job. It's not with your family. It's not even with yourself. It's frustration towards God. Now, I know that's complicated, and I know that sounds problematic, because in your mind, there's no way that that could be possible. But the reality and the truth is, it is happening. We are experiencing, and God understands it. Because of the limitations that God has put in my life, it has been very frustrating to me. And I do believe this is one of the things that he's trying to shine some light on. Every time I have found myself extremely frustrated, he comes in like a good father does. And he says, I'm sensing some frustration. And I'm like, yeah, you sensing some frustration. He's like, well, do you want to talk about it? Not really. You know, not really. Because how do I articulate to the father that you are the problem? Which in our carnal mind, that sounds good. In our spiritual mind is like, are you going to be saying that to God? But I promise you, you can't. God is not, he is not ignorant to our feelings. The Bible says that he walks in the corridors of our hearts. He knows what's in there. He's just waiting for us to have a conversation. He is waiting for us to tell him exactly how we feel. Now, I'm not telling you to be disrespectful. I'm not telling you to go to God and, you know, denounce him and turn your back on God. I'm not telling you to do that. But what I can tell you, and I have told many people who have been in my shared space, is that God can handle a tantrum. When we think about a parent, we understand that every child, in one sense or the other, is going to throw a tantrum. When we're younger, we throw tantrums all the time because we think it's going to move our parents. No, you can't have the candy. Well, I'm going to throw a tantrum in the store so that way I can get what I get, right? It's innate. It's bred. It's born in us. The Bible said that we were born in sin and we are shaping it in iniquity. It's not something that is necessarily a learned behavior. Sometimes it is. Right? Because as children, we are sponges. We just reflect what we see. which parents listen to that. There is a way for us as an adult to throw a tantrum. It might not show up the way that we would think it would based on, you know, clinical or psychological explanations of it. But a tantrum shows itself all the time. Look at the internet. We have grown adults throwing tantrums all the time. And we scroll on the internet. We look at it on TikTok. We look at it on Instagram. And we're like, this woman is throwing a whole tantrum in Victoria's Secret right now because she got caught stealing. It happens all the time. What I want to hyper-focus on is the fact that we do this to God and sometimes we don't even realize it. So God has these restrictions that he has set in place in this fast. And because of these restrictions, my flesh is bucking against it because it just doesn't like it. It doesn't like not being able to get what it wants. It doesn't like not being able to eat what it wants. It does not like not being able to watch The Housewives, which honestly, what are we putting into our ear gates, eye gates, and mouth gates? That's a whole nother teaching. Let's stay focused. My flesh does not want to hear, no, you can't drink 16 bottles of water, which for some people, y'all are like, water girl, ugh. But for me, I love water. My flesh does not want to hear, no, you can't drink all of the water that you want to drink right now. No, you can't eat all of the things that you want to eat right now. No, you're not having sugar. No, you're not having salt. No, you're not having. So right now, my flesh is like, listen, if one more no comes, I am going to scream. And God being lovingly aware of my emotions, once he realizes I'm in this state of frustration, he asks me, hey, do you want to talk about it? And it's really a test, right? It really is. Because the reality is, the only way that I'm going to move past this is if I actually talk to God about it and I actually tell him what's going on in my heart. It's not like he doesn't know. So we've already touched on that point. But it's not going to be resolved unless I talk to my father, especially when he's the reason why I'm feeling frustrated, right? Because in my mind, that's the teacher in me, three times, it will help you retain it. You put me in this position, which is difficult, right? It's very difficult. When you think about that, the thing that comes to my mind and my spirit right now is Job, right? Some of us are in our Job seasons. We are in these places or transitions. We have these restrictions on us. We're asking God what's going on. Like, I've seemingly done everything that you have asked me to, and I'm not seeing movement. I'm not seeing manifestation. I'm feeling some type of way. I'm angry. I am tired. I'm weary. I want to give up on this process. Some of you might even be at the point where you just want to give up on God. Like, I was praying earlier and I was really having an in-depth conversation with God. And I said, I really, 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 really am tired. I'm really feeling frustrated. I'm feeling weary because this process has been so long. This process has been so drawn out. This is not something that, you know, though this is a 40-day fast, this fast started for me years ago. God has been pulling these desires and changing my appetite years ago. It just now got real. And I have been walking this through with him step by step. And I have realized that I have not been disobedient. Now, there has been times where I was in blatant disobedience. And we will get to that on another day. Come back. Keep listening. There have been times in my journey where I have blatantly been disobedient. And God had to check me, like, you coming to me about a problem that you created, and now you are dealing with the consequences of that problem and you want me to fix it. But have you learned the lesson? Right? Because God is all, he's a good father and he's a good teacher, right? He does. I want to dismantle the thought right now that the enemy has placed in your head that God does things to punish us. When we talk about the restrictions that God has on this diet, the conversation that I had with him, and it's not even a diet at this point, it is a lifestyle change, right? Because we want to make sure that we're using the right vernacular because that will help us have the right perspective. This lifestyle change that God has me in while I'm in this period of transition, it has been frustrating to me because there are a lot of restrictions and it is strenuous. But I understand that the parameters that have been put in place are to protect me. They are not because God is trying to punish me. Listen to me. when God tells us not to do something, or he tells you to choose a different path or choose a different way, it is not because he hates you. It is not because he wants you to suffer just for the sake of suffering. Now, I feel there might be some contention there in the spirit, because we understand that the Bible says that if we are supposed to be co-heirs with Christ, that we must suffer. But God is not going to make us suffer just for the sake of suffering. The suffering serves a purpose. There is a lesson in it. There is a stretching in it. You will become better. It will change your perspective. It will draw you closer to him. It will change you and help you become who it is that God has intended and ordained and predestined for you to become. The Bible says in John 10:10, that the enemy cometh to steal, to destroy, and to kill. But I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it that more abundantly. It is not God's desire for you to suffer so that you can walk around here with your face all turned down. God does not get the glory out of that. We are ambassadors of Christ, right? Some of us, most of us, all of us are the only Jesus that some people are ever going to see. Some people are never going to step foot in a church. It could be church hurt. It could just be that they just don't believe. There are so many different experiences. There are so many different intersections that people are at within their walk and their journey. So there are moments where God literally uses us to be a representation of his glory and his love. Well, what kind of representation of his glory and love are these people getting if we are so frustrated with God because of the restrictions that he gave us, that when people ask us, why are you fasting? We have no answer. And when people ask us, well, why are you doing this? You seem miserable. Why are you doing? And because we have not dealt with the frustration with God, we deter people from the faith. We deter them from doing what needs to be done, which is fasting, right? Which is living a life that is holy and is pure. So I had to sit down with God, my Father. And because I have a high teaching gift, the way that he broke this down to me was, well, why don't you look up what restrictions mean? And I said, well, God, I don't really want to look up I know what restricted means. And he's like, yeah, but I want you, because your frustration is steeped in restrictions. Every time I ask him, like, can I do this? Can I do? He's like, no, you have restrictions. Well, why do I have restrictions? You'll see. And I know most of us don't want to hear that, right? We don't want to hear, well, you'll see. That's not ideally the answer that we're looking for when we're talking to him about the fact that I'm mad at you because I want to do something and you're telling me no, right? It just sounds like every teenager who's dealing with their child and their parent. So when he told me to look up what restricted meant, the one definition that really stuck out with me, it said limited in extent, number, scope, or action. Unable to reproduce at its normal rate in certain hosts, if you look at it from the version of biology or as a virus. If you look at it from a British definition of a document or information, it says for limited circulation and not to be revealed to the public for reasons of national security. So I'll go there. When God is saying that I am me, when God is saying that I am restricted, right? He's saying it's for a limited circulation and not to be revealed to the public for reasons of national security. Now, we have to understand that God's kingdom is a kingdom. It is a governmental kingdom. It has structure. There are ranks. All of us have a title in the spirit realm, okay? All of us, every single last one of us that are alive, that are born bought believers. So when he's talking about restrictions and restricted, I have to keep in mind that I am not restricted because he hates me. I am not restricted because he wants to punish me. I am restricted because we are in a place of isolation in this transition. We are not supposed to be on the forefront with some of these transitions. Some of these transitions are designed specifically to be between you and God. You hear sometimes in scriptures where they say that the prophets go into the prophet cave. You see that David ran to go hide from Saul. You see that Elijah ran from Jezebel. She went into a cave. All of these different examples of the exact same thing. Some of you, listen to me clearly, are in a period of isolation in your transition. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that you're not ready. Your frustration that you're experiencing is because you have outgrown the place that you are in. You're headed to a new place, but you haven't reached your destination yet. Trust me, I feel what you're going through. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're saying. What I want you to do is go to God with that frustration and tell him why you're frustrated. Tell him that you don't understand the restrictions that he has on you. Ask him what specific restrictions that he is putting on you. And then ask him the question that we all ask, which is why and how long? When will this restriction be over with? When will I be able to come out of this place of isolation? That's what you need to do. Go talk to your father. Tell him how you feel and express to him, I am frustrated. I promise you, you will feel better. I promise you that if you go into it with an open mind and open mindset, you will get the answer that you're asking for. You will get the perception that you need to see your situation the way that you need to see the situation. Don't give up on the process. Understand that it is supposed to be strenuous. Understand that it is supposed to be painful. Understand that it's temporary, but it's necessary for your growth. Do what he says, be obedient, and follow his directions.